My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Going to head down to Florida right now and welcome in an old friend of mine, one of the great teammates of the New York Mets over the years. I've said that many times, as a matter of fact. Cliff Floyd is going to hop on board with us now. Cliffy, Eddie C. here. How are you?
Good, man. How you been?
I've been okay. I've been all right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while, man. It's been a while.
It has been a while, as a matter of fact. Yes. But you got the Mets today on the 30 for 30. You guys are doing the 30 for 30 tour down MLB throughout the camps down in Florida. And it's the Mets day today?
Yeah, it's a little weird. You know, but I still think the network has done a terrific job, you know, with obviously with everything going on in our world and with COVID and trying to get our normalcy back. Is, you know, it's always better to be, you know, at camp and getting a chance to be face-to-face and doing some demos for the fans and all that, but to make do with the network with the, you know, which, you know, you have the infield, you have the opportunity to do some demos and so on and so forth, you know, still allows the fans to get a good in-depth of what their team is going to be like, you know, for the course of the season.
What have you noticed with the players this year? Is the comfort level a little bit better? You know, a year into this COVID world that we're all learning how to deal with.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing for me, EC, is when you talk about understanding what's going on, accountability, and knowing, you know, if you want your livelihood to continue the way that you've had in the past and you don't want any interruptions, you have to follow protocols. I think the leagues are playing copycat and, you know, find out what other leagues are doing that's working and what other leagues are doing that's not working and so on and so forth, and putting those sort of protocols in place to make everybody, you know, feel safe. And I think that's the most important thing. It's not about how many games you get in and all this stuff. It's first and foremost the health and the safety of everyone. So
right. Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, you're seeing guys, you know, take the precautions that they need, and, you know, you want everybody to go out and have a great year and have fun and be competitive, but you also want everybody to be safe so we can get some normalcy back.
You know, it's interesting, Cliff. Feel, you know, it makes me nervous when I see states like Texas and Mississippi, you know, undoing the mask mandates and that. But and I'm not one to rush into getting a lot of fans back, but it's interesting in talking to the players, they've missed the fans, and they love the fans being back. And if you can do it safely, I think it's great. I guess if I had a choice, I probably would say let's wait a little longer, and then maybe we can have more fans come in and be safer in that regard. But how have you found the players, you know, with that whole thing? It seems like most of the players just have been dying to get the fans back and just get, you know, some feedback, I guess, instead of the canned noise that they listened to all last year.
I mean, that's the reason we play. I mean, you know, the fans give us the energy and it keeps us going, and whether it's good or bad, you know, whether you're on the road and you're getting booed or whether you're at home, you're getting cheered. It's all vibes that, you know, you go out there and it pumps you up, it gets you going, gets the blood, you know, pumped and flowing. And, you know, it keeps you energized throughout the whole season. That's what it's all about, whether you have 8,000 or 80,000. So, you know, but this is where, you know, everybody has to dig deep. Not from a player standpoint, but from our standpoint, from everybody's standpoint, fans, the public, you know, it's just, you know, it's times where, you know, we just have to be smart. And whether you like the mask, you know, or not, whether right. you want mandated or not, these are scary times. And if we're going to get better, you know, when you think about it and you talk to some doctors and they're going, look, there's a lot of asymptomatic people out there that's really, you know, that just don't know they're sick. And then there you go, 25 people infected. Like that stuff is scary. So I think, mm-hmm. you know, all the players are just saying, look, let's figure this out. Like you said, EC, let's take our time. A little bit longer won't hurt us. Hell, we went this long. So let's figure yep. it out and get it back right. And then mm-hmm. once it's right, then you can have 50,000 or whatever the case may be. So mm-hmm. it's just uncertain. But I think we're handling it the best we can. And when I say we, you know, I'm a part of that because I feel like my accountability plays a big part, just like everybody else.
No question. MLB Network's Cliff Floyd with us here on The Fan. The Mets are the team today. And let me start with the shortstop, Francisco Lindor, and also Carrasco coming across in that trade as well. Yeah. Your thoughts on that and what this guy has been a revelation since coming over. He's helping to coach the rest of the infield and there early. You know, he's taken over a leadership role pretty quickly and kind of naturally too. It seems to come natural to him, Cliff.
Yeah, I think he's welcomed as best you could possibly do it, man. This, you know, New York is different, and I mean that in an unbelievable great way.
Know. Absolutely,
and I know firsthand, you know, the accountability and everything, the responsibility and things that go along with, look, show up and give your all. And that's all that's asked here. So, you know, when you see him come in, you see all, I mean, every day it's a post about him. Every day he has something coming out, whether it's New Balance, you know, you know, edition or whatever the case may be. That is all that goes along with why you get to New York. So I don't care if he hasn't gotten a hit yet in spring. I don't care. But when you think about what he, you know, the responsibilities and accountabilities of getting there early, understanding what's expected of him, that's going to take the pressure off of him throughout the whole season because he's going to go through ruts just like everybody else. I mean, look at this. Yeah, he's a superstar, but he's going to struggle at times. But I think he understands it at a young age that, look, this is where he needed to be. And I think he's going to capitalize off of it. I think the whole city is going to love him just like they love B. Wright. And it's going to be a happy marriage. I really just – I believe that.
I believe it, too. I think, you know, it's interesting because everybody who comes to New York, Piazza, you name it, you know, always seems to struggle at first with the expectations, whatever, too much pressure and all that. To me, I don't – if there's a guy who can break that mold, it seems to me like it might be Lindor. You know, not a lot seems to bother him. He's kind of carefree and goes about his business every day and, you know, approaches things a certain way, and that's whether he's in Cleveland or New York. And I think that's a great sign, and I think he's going to be a guy that might not be affected. It may just blow right by him.
Well, he won't be affected. You see, I think the biggest thing is just getting comfortable, right? Like pressure busts pipes. I think pressure worries guys who don't really truly believe in their ability, but you kind of see it one year and you don't see it the next, and you're like, well, he's not really that, you know, it's not about not having the, confidence. It's just consistent confidence. And when you watch Lindor, you know, yeah, he played in Cleveland. And there might be speculation out there about, well, he played in a small market that didn't, you know, fans just loved him, whether he did good or bad. Now he's coming up to New York, they'll boo you out of the stadium. That's not the case with him. Well, I just think he believes in his ability so much that, and I've never cared about spring training stats, believe me. I don't care if you hit a buck or 95 cent in spring. It don't matter to me. You know, scram the baseball, having good at bats, playing good D. You already mentioned, you know, him just being able to take over the leadership role. All those things matter to me. And that allows me to go into the season feeling good. Oh, and by the way, health. Everybody got to go to, you know, to the season healthy. Right. So if he's healthy day one, then you won as far as spring training and sort of getting him off on the right foot.
Yep. Cliff Floyd, our guest, MLB has the 30 for 30. The Mets are the subject today. DeGrom threw yesterday. I'm sure that, you know, when you look at DeGrom and you see him throwing 100 miles an hour as he gets older or whatever, you say, what is this guy drinking here? What is going on? But Jake is fun to watch. And, you know, it's interesting to me because, you know, I know he's getting older, but at the same time, the innings haven't added up for him, and he just seems to get stronger. And the 100 is effortless too. This is not a strain. So perfect mechanics, I don't know, but whatever it is, it's working for him.
Well, I think when you watch him, and not being a pitcher, but listen to these cats in the studio talk about mechanics and about how effortless he can get the ball to the plate and so on and so forth. You see, it boils down to understanding what you need to do to the opposition when you're facing them, meaning that you know when you have to have your most effective pitches. You know when not to take off anything, but when you have to go at certain guys in a lineup so you can keep your pitch count down. He understands pitching. And you know, the icing on the cake is he throws 100. But to understand the pitching aspect and understand what he needs to do throughout the game to keep him in the game 6-7 innings is just unbelievable to watch. And I think that's the one thing that all these young pitchers need to watch when they looking at Jake is, look how he goes through a lineup. He understands that if he's facing the Braves, Acuña Jr., he has to come out and maybe throw a first-pitch curveball. He can do that. When you're facing Freddie Freeman, you can't just pump fastballs and, you know, 100 miles an hour middle into Freddie. He'll click you out the ballpark. So when you're watching Jake and how he's matured, that's the one thing I sort of appreciate. It's just how he sort of just goes through lineups and makes sure that he doesn't allow the big boys to hurt him, and then he mows down the guys that he knows he should.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Ron Darling talking about it a little bit. You know, he had so many outs that he had to get in the game, be it 27 if he, you know, thought about it, or maybe I'm not getting 27, I'm only getting 21 today. But each out, you know, he'd just taken and he put it in the basket. Okay, I have to get this guy out this way, and bingo. That you take it piece by piece and look at it inning by inning. And Jake always does a great job of bearing down when guys are on base too, you know, and keeping those runs off the board. And that makes him, I guess, a little bit special in that regard.
Yeah. Well, he is special. And, you know, I think when you have, and that's why I always talk about having an ace. And, yes, you know, every once in a while you could go through, and I don't know how often we've seen it, EC, where you go through a season, you don't have a prototypical ace, right? But you have some top-tier guys, it's just not ace quality. Well, they, you know, Jake and some of these other guys make the other, you know, other guys in rotations job that much easier. Sort of how I dissect these rotations, meaning that you don't have that pressure, but it's not like you get complacent. You just are not in a position where you're feeling that heat. You know, if you have a 4-game losing streak and Jake's spot comes around, you got a good chance of stopping that losing streak. So all these things help when you look at this team, and you're missing one of your dudes in Noah Syndergaard, who's recovering from Tommy John. Mm-hmm. So I really like the rotation. I do. I think the rotation is solid. I think David Peterson earned his spot. I think when you look at, you know, some of the things they've done this offseason, to me, you shorten the game. I think Rojas has some good options as far as bullpen. So, look, you got to go through the Braves. I do believe that. But I think they're right there chomping at the bit to do that.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you. That's did you like what you saw from Diaz last year? He had a bounce back year. He seemed more comfortable now. And some people would say too, hey, there weren't fans in the stands. Whatever, he didn't have the negative feedback that he had from the year before when he was giving up ninth inning home runs. I don't know if that affected him or not, but he seemed to be a different pitcher last year.
Well, you know, and I guess when you look at September, he was good, right?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and he finished well, and I think that's the lasting impression you always want to have, especially if your organization is looking at a guy who's been spectacular early in his career. And I don't know if you ever just get back and go, well, how do you get back to Seattle when he was amazing off the charts and, you know, the best in the league? I don't think you think about that. I think you think about where he's at right now and how the ball's coming off the fingertips. Does it look like it has confidence? Does it look like it's going to be darting across the plate, doing some of the things you saw in the past? Is mechanics the same? Maybe the mechanics are not the same, but I need his confidence to be bigger than the mechanics. So, you know, 96 with movement that we saw in the past, or 98 or whatever, you just need the confidence to be there. And I think that, in my opinion, will propel him to be the pitcher he was in, you know, before. But baby steps. Take what he did last year in September, carry it over, and hopefully, you know, because you're going to have some fans in the stands, but, you know, I don't think fans or no fans, he still got to go out there and produce and get these guys in the box not feeling confident, because that's the thing. You see, the guys in the box were like, wait a minute, he's not the same dude in Seattle. I got a chance. Well, yeah. He has to get those guys feeling uncomfortable again.
Cliff Floyd of the MLB Network, our guest here, Ed Coleman of The Fan. We'll take it till Yankee baseball coming your way with the Phillies. They take on the Phillies at Steinbrenner Field today, and 12:55 we'll head there. You had a sweet swing, Cliff. I always used to love watching you hit. Conforto last year, speaking of sweet swings, I think he busted out last year. I think he's ready for big things. Tell me what you see with him, and can this guy take the next step? He's already a pretty good player, I think we know that, but can he take the next step up?
Absolutely, man. You know, and I don't just throw out absolutely, because, you know, it's just the right thing to say, so you know me. You know, when you watch guys and how they compete and what gets them consistently competing the way they need to compete is all around play. And to play every day and not be a platoon only hitting against righties, you have to hit against lefties. And that's one of the toughest things, obviously for me, I know, is to do, is hitting lefties every single time you get opportunity. And that's the only way to play every day. And when he was able to keep that front shoulder in and make those adjustments, he immediately just threw him into that, yeah, he's a stud. Yeah, he's an all-star. He's about to be that player that gets that long-term, you know, extension or whatever the case may be, and become one of those cornerstones for that team. So watching him, how calm, cool, and collect he is, the adjustments he makes at the plate, while they're subtle, they're enough for him to be the type of player where you're not going to be able to get him out consistently. You can't make mistakes. If you make mistakes, he's going to make you pay. And then when lefties come in, whether you bring in a lefty specialist or not, he's still going to be able to, you know, go on deck circle and confidently not look back to the dugout and worry ever again about being, you know, pinch hit for. So those things leave your mind as far as, you know, a platoon player. Now he's going to be in that conversation of, can he be a star? Can he be an all-star? And I think that's the conversation we'll have moving forward.
I always worry about them defensively. I think they're a little better defensively. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. McCann behind the plate. Lindor is there. You know, there was a lot of talk about Springer, obviously, in the offseason. He's not here, but they did get some defensive guys in Pilar and Almora to help out in the outfield. Are they better, or can they be better defensively, Cliff?
I think they, to me, this is where you have to, and I always say this about defense, if you don't have that guy who's flying all around, diving all around, doing some of the things, you know, you would think George Springer would do well, case may be, you have to just position well, EC. That's what it's all about. I mean, you can catch the ball. You're at the big league level. If you position guys well and work on getting jumps, I'm not worried about the defense. I'm more worried about you catching ball in the middle of the infield and making sure you turn double plays and not have extra pitches for the pitcher. I've always thought that way. I look at the outfield. I'm not worried about it. I think Don Smith is going to be fine in left. I think, you know, when you look at Conforto and Nemo and it's going to work itself out. I think you just have to be in the right frame of mind on the same page. I played on teams that we weren't great defensively center field wise, and it's like, wait a minute. If we position ourselves well and you work just a little bit at it, I mean, I'm not going to catch things that hit off the damn wall anyway, right? So, you know, you might as well be able to say, hey, I'm going to catch the things I can catch, position ourselves well. And then guess what? We got a deep lineup, and we're going to score a lot of runs and keep them errors to a minimum. I'm not saying they're going to make errors. I'm just saying you got the E is on the board for a reason. They happen in the game, but you got to keep them to a minimum. I think they'll be fine.
You know, I wanted to get your take on this because it was fascinating to listen to Lindor in his opening press conference. You came up, it was not an analytic era when you came up, obviously. It's you know, taken over the game at this point in time. And it was interesting to listen to him because I think what he was saying was, you know, analytics are fine before the game. I like the resource. I like the input. But if I'm in the field, he was kind of knocking the shifts a little bit because he said, if I'm in the field, let me be me. Let me use my instincts out here instead of, you know, telling me where to go, where to stand, where to be. I want to get your thoughts on that and how that blends in, because there are obviously going to be shifts. You know, they're going to be, you're going to be moved around and back a second base, have the third baseman on the right side. Just wanted to get your take on that and how some players think about it and how they can adapt to, you know, to being in the analytic world during a game.
Well, I think he's adapting to it well. I think a lot of players are. I even have, you know, I can't believe I'm saying it, EC, but I've adapted.
Me too.
Right? yeah. Yeah, I know you old school. So if you adapting to hell, I'm on the right. You know, I'm on the right track. But I think about it like this, man. Understand what they're telling you, but then know your game and know what you need to do when you step on that field. So, look. I can go back to Tom Glavine. I can go back to Pedro. I can go back to these casts that come to me before the game and go, look, when Ichiro, when we went, you know, I was with the Mets, and Glavine coming, he goes, look, why did that ball drop in front of you? And I go, damn, he's right. He goes, I told you to play in. And I was like, yeah, but I was – he was like, no. If he hits it over your head, it's my fault. So I go, okay. Mm-hmm. So when you get the information – all you need to do is go to today's starting pitch and go, hey, man, how you think we should play Stanton? Or how you think we should play Freddie Freeman or Acuna? Mm-hmm. And just talk and have a conversation and be like, hey, should I play him in the gap? How you feeling? And then that eliminates all the other stuff. I mean, that, to me, that's playing the game. Understanding the analytics is great. Understanding that they're going to help you in some facets, absolutely. But if you forget, you know, the eye test and forget the communications and conversation that you need to have with your boys, to me, that's not playing the game. So that would be my recommendation for cats who are on the fence with it. It's like, look, just have a conversation with the starting pitcher. It'll alleviate all the issues you have. Because if I go to you and go, hey, how should I play, dude? Should I play him on the track because you ain't feeling froggy? Cool. You know, but if it drops in front of me, that ain't my fault. Okay. That is how I played it. It eliminated me thinking, which was a great thing because I hated to think on the field. And everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. Be on the same page. And you certainly don't want to tick off the starting pitcher. That's for sure.
Heck no. Heck no. Especially Hall of Famer Tom Glavine. He's like, why did that ball fall? I'm like, hell, I was playing deep. I can't lie. You know.
Cliff Floyd of the MLB Network, our guest here. I just want to take across town for a little bit. Gerrit Cole, obviously, at the top of the rotation for the Yankees. But, you know, with Kluber, Tyone, they – big question marks there. Now, it could work out great. They're both very good pitchers, and if they're healthy and they're in there, but is that a lot to ask heading into the season, having guys like that as maybe 2-3 in your rotation and asking a lot of them?
Yeah, you know, for me, especially, you know, and you see it too, especially that division, right? Yeah. There's a lot of foul power in that division. There's no outs. You know, when I say the pitcher don't hit in American League. So I just look at, man, what's going on with the whole DH thing, EC? Let's talk about it. I guess we'll get to that at some point. But
I know.
But I just look at the Yankees rotation, and I just say, hey, the question marks are, what are you going to get consistently from these dudes if you're Aaron Boone? Meaning that, you know, is the bullpen going to be on edge consistently? Because that in itself is not good. Mm-hmm. And how many arms are you going to need in the bullpen consistently if these arms are not what you need them to be? And how you have to protect them because they haven't pitched a lot when you come through, you know, here it is right now, early in March. But, hell, it's still cold outside. So protecting their arms, protecting them from themselves as far as injuries. And that's the biggest thing because every pitcher is going to say the same thing. I'm good. Give me the ball. Get out of the way. No, I got to protect you from yourself because that's the one thing you have to do if you're a manager. So it's a lot of responsibilities on the coaching staff to watch all these guys other than Gerrit Cole. I think that's a lot to ask. But you do have veteran guys, so hopefully they are, you know, communicating the right way and keeping it truthful and allowing the staff to figure out some things because you can't kill your bullpen early in April, EC, and expect them to be good down the stretch.
There's always pressure on an ace, but does it put too much pressure on a Gerrit Cole who, because of that, until these guys kind of fall in line and you get everything going the right way, that, you know, he's got to go out there and give you, you know, 7 innings, 8 innings, whatever, almost every time out?
Well, the thing with him is he's just so dang good that I don't think it matters. You know, everybody talks about the money. I'm like, nah, forget the money. I mean, just watch him, right? Like, you know, I mean, he's human. He's going to have a hiccup every once in a while. But at the end of the day, you know, I need Gerrit Cole with the ball and the opportunity for me to go to the postseason. Gerrit Cole gets the ball, opportunity for me to do anything. Gerrit Cole gets the ball. So watching him, I don't think he'll put any added pressure on himself to be, you know, any more than he's been because he's been terrific.
You brought up DH, okay, and it's been bugging me all offseason. I'm not a DH fan, Cliff, but I'm not a guy who's going to go kicking and screaming against it. Right? I think it's inevitable. It's going to be there. It was there last year. I don't understand why it's not here this year, but. Talk about baseball doing itself a disservice here, you know, we're still in the situation where we don't know. It's unlikely it's going to be there, but I just think it's a ridiculous situation for the game to be in.
Yeah, it's a lot going on that I wish would just work itself out. You know what I'm saying, Ed? And just, just get us – we got so many things going against us, man, like – Can we just figure some things out so everybody can just chill and try our best to enjoy, you know, something other than sitting at home and chill. You know what I mean? Like,
What did Rodney King say years ago? Can we all get along?
Can't we all just get along, man? You know,
exactly.
And we fighting for, you know, everybody. All I hear is normalcy and getting back to this. And I'm like, and then we don't know if we're gonna have the DH. We don't know. I mean, it's just too much. And, you know, I just wish it would just figure itself out and we can keep it moving and everybody can be happy and enjoy a great competitive fun season. That would be ideal for me to sit back and relax and enjoy this year.
I know it would help the Mets if they had a DH, but
damn right. It'd help a lot of teams.
Yeah, it would. No question. Hey, give me a team that you've seen that you think will surprise people, that, you know, that not much has been said about them, but you look at them and say, I think this team can do some damage. They're a team that you've seen that fits into that category?
Man, you know what? I'm down here in Florida. And I ain't talking about Tampa. I know everybody's talking about the Marlins and thinking, like, you know, what they did last year was a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they got some boys who can ball. I'm telling you.
They do, yeah.
You know, and when you think about, you know, opportunities, and you think about how teams give, you know, guys opportunities and they flourish and they do well. Well, that's what happened last year. I mean, you couldn't have a more of a horrific start with, you know, the COVID with the team and being stuck in Philly and yada, 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 right? And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden they just started balling. You know, Madeline gave mm-hmm. dudes opportunities and they balled. And they was like, oh, wait, we actually have something. So when you have three guys in the rotation who can throw 95 plus and they know where it's going, you have some guys who can hit a little bit. You know, you just have some guys who can hit. You have some veteran leadership. To me, they just have a good core of players that can play. So, look, I know the NL is going to be tough, but watch out for the Marlins just to not be a fluke of what happened in 2020.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think Mattingly is one of my favorite people, okay? And I think he's gotten better as a manager, too. I think the players love him. You can probably sense that if you've been around them.
They love him. You know, that's a great point. Yeah.
And I mean, they do, because he gives them a chance to play, and he's, you know, if, you know, he knows they're going to make mistakes, but he couches mm-hmm. it in a way that it's a learning thing, and it's not, you know, that's dumb, you can't do that. That's and he's got enough kids on that team with raw talent that I think will listen to him. And you talked about the pitching. Yeah, I mean, they're just what that division needs is another team which is going to be a headache.
Exactly. I'm telling you, and you know, I heard one of Lindor's interviews where he talked about he mentioned every team in the division. That'll happen, right? Like, he came from the American League. He shouldn't know every damn team in the National League East. But he mentioned every one, and I thought, he's done his homework. He knows, you know, what he's dealing with every time he steps on that field when you're talking about the National League East. So I strongly believe in managers giving, you know, youngsters opportunities, but I also strongly believe in the youngsters taking advantage of the opportunities. And that's what happened, mm-hmm. really. I mean, you know, that's what, you know, if you're going to have a team where you cannot talk about rebuilding for 5-6 years, then, you know, you have to get some return on what you gave up in Stanton and Ozuna and Yelich, right? So at some point, you have to, mm-hmm. so these guys have to either shine or you do talk rebuild for 5-6 years. So, I just like where they are. I like what they've added as far as, you know, the guys they've added, you know, via, you know, you look at Jesus Aguilar or whatever. I mean, yep. he got another opportunity to shine and he's bounced mm-hmm. back. So Lewis Brinson has to shine. I mean, they got Starlin Marte. You can go through that team and mm-hmm. start thinking about, wow, dude, okay, when they come to town, this is not just a, you know, you're not looking at a 4-game sweep. You want to beat these boys. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, they have, you know, they have glue guys too with, you know, Anderson and Miggy Rojas, who is, you know, really the heart and soul of that team.
Yes, he is.
And you look at the, you know, you mentioned the starters, Alcantara and Sanchez and Lopez guys. They can throw. Yeah, I mean, they
can throw.
Yeah, they're going to give you trouble. And, you know, this one thing I always felt, you kind of know this too. When you play, and everybody's in their pods in spring training, when you play teams in your division in spring training, by the time you get to the season and you face them, you know, the 18, 19 times that you're doing, there's no fear whatsoever. It doesn't matter whether you have the talent of the other team. There's no fear when you go on the field. I've seen these guys a million times. We can beat them. You know, we did it back in March when it didn't count. But I've always felt that gives them a little bit more of an edge because they see him so
true.
Much, you know?
Yeah. That always happens when we played. And you start, you know, you get, you know, and for a young team, you only need two wins, right, before you think, oh, we good. You know, we don't know, right? You get a couple wins, and don't let us win a series. Then it's really like, okay, now we got a shot. You know, we got a shot. You know, you win a series against a tough team that's really good, and you like, we win the World Series. That's how young teams think, you know. So,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, and when you look at the whole league, you're starting to see these teams, you know, figure it out and add these pieces and look at Toronto, and you're saying, whoa. Because teams are understanding windows of opportunities close, and you know that. They close quick. And if you waste, you know, the talent, you can say the Mets had, you know, starting pitching for years and it just never came to fruition. Well, I get it. But it's all about adding, and I think this is when they've gotten it right. This is how you get it right. And you try to add even more. You try to get, you know, you try to get Trevor Bauer. You try to get George Springer. You know how hard it is to win.
Yep.
And to me, that just, if I'm a fan, I appreciate that because, you know, you understand that, you know, you put your money where your mouth is. You understand what, you know, you don't just come in and just say, hey, I want to own a team. You want to be great. You want to step in and see doves fill up that win column every night. It's hard to do. So when, you know, having that window of opportunity, man, it don't come around too often. And when you get it, you better keep it open.
Clevy, always love talking to you. Thank you a ton for the time today. Before I let you go, I wanted to ask about Rondell, my man Rondell White.
Where, yeah, man.
Where is he? How is he? What's going on? What's up with Rondell?
He's good.
Good.
Dude sits at the house. He sits at the house. You know, he's chilling. He has two kids. I see him a lot. His son plays soccer, so he's that traveling dad now. I'm like. Yeah, his son's, and you know, he's not just the local, he's not the local soccer, you know, youngster.
Yeah.
He's a traveling star.
Traveling. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So he'll text me and be like, hey, I'm in Albany, Georgia. I go, huh? What the hell are you doing in Albany, Georgia?
Youth sports, man. So. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah,
travel teams. So, travel teams. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he's doing. So he's having a good time, man. He's enjoying retired life and, we down in Florida. I golf now, and he don't. So he's trying to figure it out.
Okay. What's the handicap?
I'm down for 11, man.
Ooh! Wow!
Yeah.
That's sweet. That's nice.
Yeah, and I just started it. I just started before the pandemic. But you know what?
Yeah.
Ed, I can't stand to stink at something. So I'm literally out there more than I should be.
That's, you know, that's okay. But, you know, when you catch the bug. It gets you pretty quick, you know.
Yeah,
that 11 will be down to 5 or 6. I guarantee you in about a year and a half. Okay,
it's amazing. It's amazing. The ball don't move, and I just can't keep that thing straight. From it don't move. Now, I didn't hit cutters and sinkers and sliders all my life. Little white ball don't move, and I can't hit that thing consistently.
I love it. Yeah, it's a frustrating game. Definitely a frustrating game. Don't play McNeil, whatever you do, okay? Don't play Jeff McNeil. do not do that, all right? He will set you up. He'll go out and shoot a 66, I guarantee you, all right? Yeah, he's pretty nasty in it. He's pretty nasty in that regard. Clevy, listen, hope I see you soon, okay?
No doubt.
And stay well. Stay well, stay safe. Always great talking to you. Thanks for the time today. Appreciate it. Okay.
You as well, EC. Talk to you soon,
okay, bud. You got it, man.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.